Deborah Rogers, a former Wall Street financial consultant and critic of the shale gas industry, recently spent several days in Fayetteville, speaking to civic and interest groups. Her trip was sponsored in part by the Washington County League of Women Voters and the Sierra Club. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
Deborah Rogers, founder and executive director of Energy Policy Forum, one word, currently serves on the U.S. Department of Interior's U.S. Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative, which is setting a global standard to promote revenue transparency and accountability. She's a former Wall Street financial consultant with expertise in international investment banking who's testified before Congress. 4 years ago, she, along with a group of petroleum geologists, geoscientists, and peak oil experts, began to take a critical look at the burgeoning unconventional shale gas industry, which extracts methane from underground rock formations. Proponents say vast underground preserves will serve as our energy bridge to the future. But Deborah Rogers says data doesn't support this.
And we now know, based on actual production history, and we have looked, by the way, at 65,000 shale wells, oil and gas, throughout in every play in the United States. We've looked at the actual production history. What have the wells really done? And we know now that operators have overestimated reserves by a minimum of 100%, and in some plays by as much as 400 to 500%.
More than 4,000 natural gas wells have been drilled on the Fayetteville Shale Formation in central North Arkansas since the early 2000s using slickwater hydraulic fracturing. Each well costs producers an estimated $3 million to drill, beginning with construction of a four-acre pad. Radiating off a deep centralized bore are as many as 10 underground horizontal bores, which are shot through with water, sand, and tons of lubricating chemicals to break apart the shale, releasing locked methane. According to a UA study released in 2012, more than $12.7 billion was invested by gas exploration and production companies, who paid out $1.2 billion in mineral leases and royalty payments and $90 million in severance tax revenue to the state, employing 22,000 people. Between 2004 and 2011, production of shale gas increased to more than 900 billion cubic feet in Arkansas. Activity, however, has since quelled, with industry citing a glut of natural gas, energy conservation, and effects from the recession.
You could see where the price of gas was going back in 2010. I spotted it back in early 2010. Because you look at the existing production in the U.S., you add on the production targets, which you know the companies are going to meet. They're going to do their very best to meet. And that gives you a number, and it's a pretty significant number. And then all you have to do is compare that number to current demand. And you could see that it was going to far outstrip demand. And in that case, you've got a surplus. And when you have a surplus, prices go in one direction and one direction only, and that's down.
Average reserves cited per well by industry in Arkansas is around 2.5 billion cubic feet, Rogers says. Data which can be seen on AOGC2STATEAR.US, the Arkansas Oil and Gas Commission website, indicates a much lower production rate. Much of the obfuscation, she says, can be traced to the distinction between the words reserve and resource.
Society of Petroleum Engineers, their definition, resources are all the gas that's down there that's potentially available if you have the right business climate and if you have the technology that can pull it out. Those are the numbers that you hear from industry typically. Reserve numbers, on the other hand, are a subset of that. They are, and this is the Society of Petroleum Engineers definition, they are all the gas that you can get out in today's business climate using today's technology. You have to keep in mind that shale wells deplete at alarming rates. I mean, they're just off the charts compared to conventional wells. And so you have these really, really good wells that you've drilled in the beginning, which makes it look like the play is a huge success, but they're depleting at an alarming rate.
Rogers says the Securities and Exchange Commission is looking into the matter, and she expects change to occur.
I've pulled some letters that the SEC has sent to some shale companies, and it's quite interesting when they talk about claiming reserves. They tell the companies, you are claiming reserves that are, and I'm quoting here, mathematically impossible. So they know that some of these companies are pushing the edge of the envelope, and they're looking into it. Now, how far they will go in regulating that, we have yet to see.
Now, Arkansas has some of the most shallow and easily fracked gas wells in the United States after Southwestern Energy. Australia-based BHB Billiton is the second largest leaseholder on the Fayetteville Shale Play. it bought out Chesapeake's holding in early 2011.
Now, the interesting thing with BHP Billiton is they went in and they bought Chesapeake's assets, all of the Fayetteville assets, and they paid about $4 billion. 18 months later, and I have a real problem with this because there's no way that the investment bankers who were involved in this deal did not know that those assets weren't any good. But 18 months later, BHP wrote off over 50% of the purchase price of those assets. And if it makes anybody feel any better, Marius Kloppers, who's CEO of BHP, didn't get his bonus in 2012.
According to a company press release, Marius Kloppers has retired as CEO of BHP Billiton on October 1st. China, Japan, France, and Norway have also invested heavily in U.S. shale fields. Wall Street saw international acquisition of U.S. shale fields as a means to keep things alive, says Deborah Rogers.
The banks saw an opportunity to generate fees off shales. They needed something to take the place of the mortgage-backed securities as far as fee generation, and shales then became the number one profit center at quite a few large Wall Street investment banks over the last few years. And it was directly, if you look at what happened, the price goes down, and you could see the price going down. I saw it. You know, anybody could see it. And so you knew that the assets could be sold then at some point in the future for cents on the dollar. And that's when these investment banks turned around to the large multinationals like BHP Billiton or ExxonMobil and said, you can pick these assets up. It'll look like your, you know, your reserves are growing. And in the meantime, the banks, you know, the fees went off the charts for shales. In fact, sorry, I'm talking a lot here, but in fact, Peter Vosser, who's CEO of Shell, he's about to retire, and he gave an interview, I believe it was just last week, beginning of last week, to the Financial Times in London, and he said his biggest regret of his time as CEO at Shell is their investment in U.S. shale gas.
Business media have been reporting on the myth of cheap fracked gas, as well as fracked oil coming out of North Dakota and Texas. But rather than focus on skewed reserve versus resource numbers, the reports cite massive investment in new infrastructure to export U.S. shale gas and oil, where industry can fetch lots more money. Three new costly export terminals have been permitted over the past decade. Rogers says selling domestic hydrocarbons overseas benefits industry, but not American consumers. According to the U.S. Energy Department, natural gas home heating costs are expected to rise this winter by 13%. Still, the U.S. Energy Information Administration projects that U.S. natural gas production will outpace domestic consumption by 2020, spurring net exports of natural gas. But according to Deborah Rogers, the industry is not sustainable.
I think you're already beginning to see the shale bubble deflate. You're seeing enormous write-downs across the board. You just had companies the size of Shell and ExxonMobil. Shell took a $2 billion write-down last quarter on their U.S. shale assets. Exxon took a 60% hit to earnings. When you have companies that size that are taking hits like that from shale assets, you know you have a problem.
Despite her bleak analysis, Deborah Rogers says shale hydrocarbons, if kept in the United States, could be a sound buffer for the U.S. energy grid until we fully deploy sustainable energy systems. Rogers travels and lectures widely on shale gas economics and has been featured in the New York Times, Rolling Stone, London's Guardian, as well as MSNBC and PBS. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.